Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go ahead and open them up to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 on this Memorial Day. This is actually kind of a part two message. Josh started it last week, and I'm going to tag team with him a little bit. Aren't you glad that Pastor Josh and the blessings God has given to us through he and Kaylin? Amen. Amen. We're so glad they're here with us. And I was thinking about the benefits of remembering Jesus all through his sermon. And it happened to be Memorial Day, which is about remembering, right? So it works. Things work out pretty good. Have you guys ever forgotten things before? So I collected four things that I'm always forgetting. And maybe you can relate. So they're not necessarily in order of importance, but my family could probably help you with that. So here's the first one. Anyone ever wonder where their wallet or purse is? Where'd that thing go? That's not the major one, but that one gets forgotten and you run around. I kind of keep that one kind of close. Here's one that happens a lot. I forgot that one already. Anyone relate to that? Where are those keys? Yeah. Or worse, I suppose, it's part of it. That thing. Oh, I think it's lost a lot. Here's the worst of all, though, probably. It's got to be. Where in the world is my phone as I walk around the house with the phone in my hand looking for it? Or in my pocket? That's another one. What did Caleb do with the phone? He's not even been home for 3 days, but it's fun to blame him anyway. So the other one, oh man. All right. I don't know what to do. Oh! Thank you so much for bailing me out. I tell you what, I love what the author, Aaron Brooks, says about the problem of remembering. I want to get it right. He says this, by the time we reach the age of 50, we best that, our brains are crammed with as much information as the New York Library. Whew, I feel pretty good about myself. All right. The problem, however, is that our personal librarian is getting old. She doesn't move around like she used to. She's easily distracted, and just when you need a quick fact, she's probably stopping for coffee somewhere to talk with an old friend. And along the way, she forgot what she was going to do in the first place. That's probably a little bit more of a description of the librarian in my brain. But, by the way, just for fun, does anyone remember what Pastor Joshua's first point was in his message? Does anyone remember that from last week? Okay. Yes. I had to have notes for that. No, I mean, isn't that funny? Does anyone remember we won't go there, 4 weeks ago. So the Lord is all about remembering. He's all about remembering. And if you read scripture, you're going to find it immediately in the Old Testament. It's developed in the New Testament. God is about remembering. How about remember the Sabbath, keep it holy? That was kind of early on in scripture, right? How about this one? He remembers his covenant for 1,000 generations. Isn't that awesome? So he's all about remembering. So the word remember is actually used probably around 184, 185 times in the Bible, over and over and over again, in different ways, in different contexts. But a lot of those have to do with how we're called to remember God and his promises and all that stuff. So our story this morning, okay, is about remembering. The title of the message is Two Benefits of Remembering Jesus. Two benefits of remembering Jesus. All right, let's jump right into it. We're going to go ahead and in verse chapter 24, we're going to start with verse 13 there. Actually, I'm going to back up to 12. You kind of know the context, but this sets it a little bit. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Now let's jump in. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. So here we have two guys here that have gone through some difficult and challenging situations, and it's on everybody. It's the media buzz, right? It's happening all over. Verse 15, and while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still and looking sad. Then one of them said, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Father, help us for these few moments to see you clearly and to remember you. Transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. First idea of remembering. What is remembering? What's the benefit? What's the benefit? Remembering Jesus offers the benefit of grounding us in times of uncertainty. Remembering Jesus grounds us in times of uncertainty. Look at these guys. They were very unsettled. I would be too, wouldn't you? Someone you loved and followed and was a teacher of Israel, and also possibly is this the Messiah, and everything seemed to be right, but he was killed, and then there was rumors of his resurrection. And you can see that these guys were very unsettled inside their own heart. These words have strong emotional terms. I mean, they were very mad and very anxious all inside. It says, but we had hoped. I mean, they even went to the tomb. The tomb was empty. It wasn't there. The women had said what they said. But they had hoped. So you can see they were unsettled. In fact, it goes a little farther. It talks about this idea of their sadness as well. So all this is wrapped up of being unsettled. And that's kind of what life does in our faith walk as well. We believe in Jesus. We hope in Jesus. We're trusting in Jesus. Then life comes and challenges all that stuff, right? All the things you hold dear. Now, some days, maybe many days, maybe a lot of days, you're not facing such a deep faith issue. But those days do come. And man, they are unsettling. And the question that always arises in our brain is the question of why? Why, Lord? Why am I walking through this? Why my child? Why my friend? Why my spouse? Why my life? Why, Lord? Why? It's unsettling. These guys, that's where they were at. They were unsettled in their hearts and in their minds. You know, they had partial faith, partial truth, and it leads to them being ungrounded and unsettled. But these guys were also blinded as well. Now, this wasn't their fault. You followed in Scripture. This isn't an issue that sin in their life and they couldn't see anything. It wasn't that at all. And it wasn't even Satan. Satan had nothing to do with it. Scriptures are pretty clear. the Lord on purpose. I mean, I was even reading in commentaries. Some of the commentaries, they try to explain things that are just impossible to explain. Well, most likely because of the position of the city, they were walking into the west, and so the sun blinded them. No, why can't we just believe what the Bible says, amen? Well, it has to say, it was God who did it. I think he did it for a specific reason, because these guys were unsettled in their faith. They needed to grow up and want an opportunity, so he took the opportunity to just kind of let them not recognize him. Now, honestly, let's cut the guys some slack. Really, think about it. If we just buried somebody on Friday and they walked in here and opened in prayer on Sunday, might your face be a little surprised? Yeah, you may say, well, boy, that person sure looks like so-and-so, but it certainly couldn't be them. That's that kind of a thing, right? Well, Jesus, anyway, allowed them, he had them blinded. This is really, journeys in life are God's schoolroom. They're God's schoolroom to teach us lessons in faith. That's what that's all about. So he's unsettled, they're blinded, and they're in a perfect position, hopefully, to do something we all need to learn to do. We need to listen, don't we? Yeah. So that God lets all that happen, and there it is. Well, what does Jesus do? Well, if you go on, it talks about in verse 25, it says, and he said to them, oh, he was so kind, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Oh, man. That's my opening line in a hospital room. I mean, you got the grieving spouse, you've got the grieving parents, you've got the grieving friend. I usually go in there, oh, you foolish one, slow of heart. Doesn't that seem rather cruel? I know. But Jesus is really, he is kind of being helpful. He's setting them up. He knows what he's doing. He basically confronts them is what he's doing. And one of the best things you and I can do with folks who are unsettled is to confront them. Now, I don't recommend that your opening line is, oh, foolish one. Okay? Let that be, stay on the recording, please. But sometimes it's necessary to get right in a person's face, people that you love, to help them in a very dangerous situation. Choices they're making in their life. Now, I know these guys may not seem to be there, but they could be on the precipice of making a right turn or a left turn when they should stay on the narrow. And Jesus confronts them. I love what Proverbs 13:13 says. He who despises the word will be destroyed. Did you catch that? Be destroyed. But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Jesus is the living word. He is the living word. So we have the word and we have the spirit. So is it possible for you and I to live many years, hear many messages, many Sunday school lessons, and many Bible studies, and not understand what we're reading or hearing properly? So at times, Jesus has to come along and he confronts them. I admit it seems kind of harsh. Well, let's go on, you foolish ones. Oh, I'm sorry, not you. I'm back at verse 25. So you foolish ones, slow heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So what's he doing? He's trying to help them. I'm going to help you remember. Let's go back. Let's continue. Was it necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? All right. So there it is. Now he's going to go here and he's going to help correct their direction, the way they're thinking. They're going the wrong way, guys. You're going the wrong way. And there's danger ahead if you go down that road. Being Memorial Day, I got to use a war illustration, right? Now, if you've read the book Band of Brothers, or maybe you've seen the series, there's one where I think it's Market Garden, where the Allies paratroop into Holland. And the idea is to try to get across the river and into Germany and end the war before Christmas. That was the plan. And so the guys do that. They parachute in, and they're just walking like there's nobody there. And they're walking. They finally come across this really small town, maybe kind of like a Rocheville kind of a town. And they're thinking, oh, man, okay, we're just going to camp here. But, you know, the guy in charge says, let's go ahead and send in scouts. So he sends them in, and they go through there, and it just seems like nobody's there except one guy was out in a building, and he opens up his window, and he's doing this. Okay, so what does that mean to you? They don't know what he's doing, so now they're getting a little nervous, a little anxious, and they're walking around, and one of them catches it. They see with binoculars, panzers. I don't know if you know anything about German panzers, but if you put an American tank, Sherman, next to a German tank at the time, it was like dad and baby boy. It was a big monster, and it was powerful. And they quickly, I mean, they thought they were covered and weren't seen. And they quickly run back to the British column that was coming in with their tanks and says, guys, I'm warning you, you're going the wrong direction. You need to stop here right now. There is a Panzer tank, there's several of them right over there. And the guy goes, I don't see it. He says, they're there. And he argues with them. He says, they're going back and forth. And finally, he says, the American says to the British officer, look, if you will just fire one shot on the corner of that building, you're going to see them just fine. He says, I have no orders to do that. He says, if you go forward, you're going to get an education real fast. Well, the guy didn't listen. And he went forward. And they got really pounded bad. A lot of men unnecessarily died. I think that's the whole idea about Jesus. Sometimes when he intervenes, he's trying to protect us from what he knows is around the corner that we don't always see. We think it's fine, but he's running up, warning us with his word, warning us with his spirit, warning us with the fellowship of the believers. And he's talking to us, and he's warning us, and he's saying, I know you don't see it. I don't see it. But if you would just shoot the word of God right on the corner of that building, boom, you're going to see the problem that you're going to enter if you don't turn around. You're going the wrong way. Now, I see that as not, I don't have to worry about being called foolish at that point. I see that as a loving action. So parents, you don't need to back down from lovingly warning your children. That's an act of love. This, oh, let them discover it all on their own. Come on now. Some things, yes, that aren't so serious. A lot of things, no. We need to guide them and help them grow in their faith. So Jesus does this. And so he really grounds these men now. Why? Because he starts it out by getting them truth in their heads. And so now we go back, and what happens? And at the beginning, verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, I love this about Jesus, he doesn't just confront them, he's going to guide them now. He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How would you like to have Jesus as your Bible study teacher? I got good news for you. You can every day. It's true. It's true. So what do we have here? What does Jesus do? Well, Jesus stirs their memory. You see what he does? What's he going to do? You're going to give me a history lesson? Ah! I don't know about you. I loved history. Some people, they hate history. How many people love math? Yeah, like, how many people love science? I can't believe there's anybody, but there's a few. All right. Yeah, science was like, oh my goodness, I got to stay awake. But, you know, history, a lot of people were like, I don't know. But as I got older, I really liked history because I was becoming history. So, beginning with Moses, he goes way back. The prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures. That had to have been an amazing session, right? I don't know how long it lasted. So, what is it, 6 miles or so, 6 or 7 miles, they were walking. If you're walking, kind of a gradual pace, is it like 18, 20 minutes a mile, I'm guessing. I don't know. So they had some time as they're walking here, and he gives them the whole spiel about the Bible at that walk. Man, all that money and time I wasted in Bible college, all I needed was a 20-minute walk with Jesus. I'd have been all right. Not really. So here we have Jesus is stirring their memories, reminding them, first of all, I think, of who they are. Now, it doesn't come out here specifically, but it talks about them as Jews. He's going back about Moses and prophets and scriptures. Now, what do you think he's covering? You are a called people. I chose you not because there was anything necessarily special about you, because I wanted to, through you, reach the world with my mission. I chose you. You're a chosen nation, set apart, called. That's who you are. I mean, he's trying to let them know that knowing who you are is important for you to function properly. I may have told this before. It's a great story. It's a true story. When we were in a church in West Palm Beach, First Baptist Church in West Palm, we had a pastor friend who was a Messianic Jew, and he is on staff. And, you know, he went through a lot of things because he trusted Christ. His family completely turned their back on him. And he had never, you know, being a Jew, growing up a Jew, as a pastor now, he was doing funerals. He told me about his first funeral. This is so funny. So he grew up in a different culture when it came to funerals. And so he goes to the funeral home, and he's just walking around. He's going early. And he walks into the room where the funeral is, and the casket is there. That's not a big deal. But then he walks up, and he notices it's open, and he sees the dead body, and he goes white. And he doesn't remember. He said he blacked out, and he doesn't remember, and he backs up, and you only see this in Hollywood, right? There's a closet he backed right into, and the door shut. And he just sat down, and his mind was just going clung, 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 as he's telling this story. I'm saying, really? He says, yes, you do not look at a dead body. You don't do it out of respect for them. They consider that being undressed or something. You have to look into that. It's interesting. And so he's like, well, he couldn't. He said he lost even an awareness. And so this is what he did to get him back to reality. He said, my name is so-and-so. I live in West Palm Beach, Florida. I am a pastor at First Baptist Church in West Palm Beach. And he's just going over and over. Of course, by this time, he didn't know he was in there for at least 15 or 20 minutes. He was in there a long time. He said he wasn't sure. He kind of blacked out. He was just freaking out. That's what it was. And he kept going over and over and over on who he was. And finally, someone opened the door. I said, Pastor, are you okay? And they pulled him out and everything, and the funeral went fine, I suppose. He didn't say anything about the funeral. But I find it interesting that sometimes when you lose yourself, you lose your way. I think that's the way it is with Christians. When you lose who you are, you know who you are. I know the world wants to tell you what you should do and how you should think, but who you are as a child of God can make all the difference in the world. Because now there's that beautiful picture of what God thinks about his children and that standard by which we have been called to live, but given the strength to live that too. It's amazing. And so we kind of get our reality back. We get pulled out of that closet and say, I'm a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's going back to the scriptures. He's talking about this, their ancestors. This is who they were. They were perfect people. I don't mind telling you all their mistakes, but they were called out and they followed and obeyed me, and here you are. So Jesus stirs their memory. See the benefit now? What's happening to these guys? Now these guys, as they're walking back to Emmaus, where they live, I assume, it's their feet get a little more grounded. Their minds aren't so scatterbrained. Wait. Okay, yeah, that's right. We're Israel. Prophets spoke of the Messiah. I'm starting to get it. He was to come. And I was all wrapped up with the political thing. I get pulled into this nationalism and I got distracted by it. And what I should have done was follow Jesus and thought, okay, he was supposed to die for the sins of the world, for the sins of the nation, so that we can have eternal life. And now they're standing back up again. So he really just simply helps them to remember who they are. But not only that, if you notice the phrase at the bottom as well, concerning things concerning himself. Jesus grounds them by reminding them of who he is. That's very important. What you believe and know and understand about Jesus can make all the difference in your journey. It will. Well, it doesn't matter if you're in the valley of the shadow of death or if you're on top of the mountaintop. What you know, understand, and believe about Jesus Christ will make all the difference in the world. Jesus, can you imagine what he was saying? He's more than just a prophet. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Satan can't hinder him. Storms don't stop him. Death can't hold him down. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you and I can ask or think, and may I add, imagine. That's the God we serve. That's who he is. And we got to be reminded of that, because there's sometimes, I believe, if your prayers could be like mine, Lord God, if you would, if you could do this, God can do all things. Now, he'll do it his way for our good, but we can trust him. So remembering Jesus really grounds us. It's grounding us. There's a great true story that Tony Evans told about he and his wife were on a trip. And cruise ship. Anybody been on a cruise before? Cruise ship? Yeah, I was on one one time. It was a little boat. I had to paddle across the lake. This is a little bigger boat and a huge boat. And apparently, they were heading into the storm, and they were warning the passengers, okay, you need to do this and go to your cabins. We're heading into a really bad storm. We just want y'all to be safe, so go there. Well, apparently, Tony's wife, Lois, said, wait a second. This doesn't even make sense. She calls up the captain's office and gets the steward, I guess, and says, I don't like this decision. Why in the world are we going into this storm? Why don't we just set anchor? The storm can blow by, and then we can just take off after it's all calmed down. And the steward says, ma'am, I'll talk to the captain and I'll get back with you. So, about 2 minutes later, calls back. Don't you love it when people actually do what they say they're going to do? That's awesome right now. So she picks up the phone and says, ma'am, this is Stuart. I've got your answer for you. Two things. So the first one, I want to be careful how to say it. I think it was sort of an expression, I'm the captain and I'm the one that's in control of the ship. We'll let you figure out exactly how that was expressed. Number two, however, was most important. He says, ma'am, I want to get the words right. He says, ma'am, I want to tell you this. Something. Look, this ship was built with that storm in mind. We're going to be just fine. Okay. I got it. God, through the Holy Spirit, believer, it's okay. You can do this. This ship with that storm in mind. Because you are a child of the living God if you're trusting Christ. It doesn't matter the type of storm, because your ship is going to make it just through. That's why Jesus slept in that boat. Why was he worried about it? We're going right through. It was designed for that. Does it make the storm easier? Does it make the tears stop? Does it make the pain go away? But you are a child of God, of the King of Kings. You're royalty. And he is going to see you through that storm. And when you can remember who you are and remember who he is, you are grounded and not swayed by all the things around. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen? Amen. Amen. So remember. remembering Jesus offers the benefit of grounding us. How do we remember Jesus? Well, it's clear in here. We go back to his word, because that's where Jesus went. The one thing, it's not mentioned here, but the New Testament books mention, not only do we have the living word of God with a relationship with God through Christ, we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And as we read this word and walk and obey this word, not just pick, yeah, I like commandment 4, but I don't like commandment 7 today. No. As we obey and follow and walk after him, our feet are firmly grounded through the storm. So that's one of the things you could benefit from remembering Jesus. If you get in trouble in your life this week, things are happening, I want you to, it's okay. Life happens and things are tough. Remember Jesus. Remember his word. Remember his love. Remember his promises. And he fulfills each one. And you will be grounded during the storm. Well, there's a second thing that's really, really, really great. And I love this part about it. It's the last part. I want to go ahead and read verses 28 to 35. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as they were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us." How many of you feel that way about Jesus? Anybody? "Stay with me, Lord, oh God." So stay with us, and for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. They're coming up with any excuse they can. Oh, they're being polite. So he went in to stay with them. Well, I love it. They invited Jesus in, and he went in. Maybe we need to do a little more of that. And their eyes, when he sat at the table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. Now, we're just going to pause because we'll read the rest of that. You ever have one of those aha moments? You ever have one of those Jesus moments? When the Lord was here, I didn't see it before. He's been here all along, but he opened my eyes. And it could be all kinds of strange situations. It might even be affecting you. You might be observing something. You might be reading something. You might be listening to something, or listening to something that another person's going through. And for whatever reason, God brings to mind something that's like, I can't believe I didn't remember that. Lord, you just illuminated me on something here that I don't know. It's amazing. That's what Jesus does. So here that happened with them. Their eyes were open. I love it when my eyes are open to the word and to what God's trying to say to me. And look at this, verse 32. Let's finish this out. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with him. And they gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And then they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So what's the second benefit of remembering Jesus? We know the first one is being grounded. You need to remember that. When we remember the Lord and his word and his promises, we are grounded through the storm, because the ship God made was built for that storm. We also have here, though, remembering Jesus offers the benefit of igniting a passion for serving him. I don't know how many times I've lost my passion. Don't think like it happens to just you. It happens to me sometimes. But when we remember, when God is speaking through us and to us, and we're remembering all those things and growing in him, he ignites that fire, that passion that makes us go and tell. Look at what these guys did. The first thing they did, they said a comment to each other. Then it says they rose. They didn't pray about it for a month. They didn't hold 5 prayer meetings for several weeks in a row. Or let 24 hours pass by. God had spoken to them. Their hearts were already burning. The Spirit was moving. They knew exactly what they have to do, and that's the way it is with us. We don't have to sit there and analyze when the Spirit's moving, man. You better move with it. So here they have. They rose, and then they found. So they were looking. They were seeking something specifically. I don't know who that might be in your life. It might be a neighbor. It might be a friend. It might be a family member. I don't know who that is. But God is leading. Who knows? You may even walk out and say, I have no idea. I just feel like I got to walk. And God leads you, and those God-made appointments take place. They do. In the strangest ways, they may start out as changing a flat tire. It may start out as just helping someone who needs help, but they always end up with gospel. They do. And so here we have, they rose, they found, and they told. 35, they told. How were they able to do all this? Because earlier, they just a few minutes, it seemed like, right? Weren't they walking away from Jerusalem? And weren't they not kind of, the word there is, I know the translation says discussing, but it actually has kind of a stronger, there's a little bit of debating, so they're probably really going at it as friends, arguing. And that's not what he said. He said, I don't know for sure, but they were sad. I don't want anybody to leave here sad. Nobody's allowed to leave sad, so you got to stay if you're sad, okay? We're going to work on you. We're going to pray over you. We're going to do whatever we can. They may have come there sad to Emmaus, but they left the Jerusalem happy. And they were rejoicing. Why? Because the truth of Christ, they remembered. And that ground at their feet, it didn't change the storm. They're going to go through it, but you're built for the storm, guys. You're built for it. And so now, by touching Jesus and Jesus investing in them, they were ignited in them. There was ignited in them a passion. Maybe it was lost because of circumstances. It certainly happens to me. And God says, oh no, I know life is tough and things happen. But you're still alive. Anybody still breathing here this morning? Then you're still on mission, guys. You're still on mission. God's got something special for you to do. Yes, you, all of you, to do, because you were built for that. I think about these two guys and their journey, and I think about how life is just full of joys and difficulties, and sometimes doesn't it happen at the same time? I mean, the same time, the same day. I don't know how many times you've walked through that where you get really bad news on here, but then you get something really funny and joyful that happens, and it all happens together. That is life. It's not anything you've done wrong or right. That's just the way it is. And these guys are living life, and they're struggling, and they're long. They don't even know who they are. They're in that closet, and then Jesus shows up and reminds them of who they are and who he is. What they can do, and it grounds them, and they become passionate. It becomes passionate. This is a very familiar story, and we're closing with this one here. But you've heard it before. I just love telling it when I can. This seemed to be the perfect time. How many of you remember Fanny Crosby? Okay, it's not Bing Crosby's wife, okay? Fanny Crosby was a hymn writer. Those are books we used to have in the pews there, the hymns of the faith. Anyway, so she wrote a lot of them. And by the way, she also wrote a lot of other things too. Was it? We enjoy her hymns, but she wrote a lot of poems and a lot of other things. This story is so well known, so I'm just going to abbreviate it in a couple sentences, okay? So apparently she had a financial need, and as was her custom, she remembered Jesus, and so she went to prayer. And I got to tell you, when I read stories like this, I get frustrated because it doesn't always turn out for me like this, but and maybe it doesn't always for her, but this time it does. That's the way Jesus is. Sometimes he does, sometimes he does. It's all in his plan. She said, Lord, I really need this money bad. You know what I need, and specifically how much she needed. She wasn't even done her prayer when knock on the door. She opens the door, and there's a stranger. She didn't even met the guy in her life. I don't know. I just felt led. Here's some money for you. Wow. Exactly what she needed. Now, That happened to Dawn and I more than once in seminary days, but I didn't do what Fanny did because she's probably a lot more connected to poetry and music. She immediately, her mind, the Holy Spirit, I mean, she was ignited. She was ignited. She remembered the Lord, and she was ignited with a passion. And at that moment, while the iron is hot, she sat down and she wrote this. All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Remembering Jesus grounds us and ignites us for service. We're going to sing that hymn now. I'm going to ask Pastor Dan and musicians to come on forward as we prepare for this. This is a beautiful hymn. The words will be on the screen since the books aren't in the pews. And I want us to sing this. Now, you might be here today, and as you don't have to pay attention to them. They got a job to do. But maybe you're here today, and you don't know this Jesus Christ like that. I mean, you know about him, and you respect him, but you don't know Christ. I'm going to put it another in a couple of phrases that you may have heard or may not. Are you saved? Are you trusting Christ? Do you know for certain? Not I think or I hope. That if I die, I'll be with God in heaven. Do you know? If you don't know, I want you to meet me down here during this song. This is an invitation for you to come and meet the Jesus and start making some memories of your own. But the first one would be by trusting in him. He wants to save you because apart from Christ, okay, I'm going to do the old foolish one thing now, okay? Apart from Jesus, all of us are condemned to hell. Rightly so. But in Christ, we're made righteous in him. Not because we deserve it, because of his grace. I want you to know that Christ. I want you to know that God. And myself or one of the ladies will be able to open their Bibles and share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for the rest of us who have had that experience, I want you to now take your sadness, okay? Some of you haven't smiled the whole morning. Turn it to joy in the midst of your storm. Why? Because your ship was built for that. You can do it. Let's stand together and rejoice. Pastor John.